the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you. The men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there. And it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
So how many times have we said, Jerry, how more military get into politics? Why don't we have more veterans in Congress and the Senate?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe because they don't want to put up with the BS all the shenanigans of that are involved in running for office. And then, my God, the shenanigans that take place.
Right.
Once you're elected, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who in the right mind wants to run for office?
But maybe if we had more veterans in there, you wouldn't have all the shenanigans.
Well,
you know?
I understand that point of view, but I also understand the history of our country.
Yeah.
We've had many presidents who were veterans, and we've had, in the past, quite a few people in Congress who served in the military.
Sure.
But they lost their sense of decorum or whatever, and the shenanigans are now a tradition.
Well, we're going to see if we can change that. There's a political action committee.
And excuse me.
Yes.
Shenanigans, for those of you who don't know, that's code for BS.
Yes. There's a political action committee by the name of With Honor, and very interesting group. Peter Meyer is with us. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you gentlemen today?
Doing good. Peter's also the chairman of the Board of the Student Vets of America.
Yes, and Peter's also in Michigan right now.
Yeah.
More importantly, he's in Michigan.
That's the most important thing that we could have said about Peter, and goodbye.
You only take one thing away.
See you, Pete.
Yeah. Hey, Peter, so tell us a little bit about the now you guys, I think the mission there that you guys do is that's your intent, right? To put more people that are veterans on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. With Honor is a new cross-partisan movement that's led by next-generation veterans and focused on increasing the number of next-generation veterans in Congress to help fix our nation's broken politics. Yeah.
So it's nonpartisan. You want to balance this out. Equal numbers on the left, equal numbers on the right. How about the middle?
Exactly. If there are any independent candidates that have a viable chance, we're definitely willing to support them, provided they meet the same requirements that we ask of the Democrats and Republicans on our slate.
So what are the requirements? How do you accomplish this?
Well, first off, we make sure that all of our, a prerequisite for anyone to have support is that they're willing to sign on to our pledge. And you can find our pledge on our website, withhonor.org. But largely, it just asks people to do what they should be doing anyway, that if they're elected into office, that they'll sit down with a member from the opposite party at least once a month, that they'll work together on bipartisan legislation, and that they'll co-sponsor a piece of bipartisan legislation at least once per year.
Well, that's not very noble, and I agree with the concept totally.
But Jerry is he's one jaded son of a bitch.
Thank you.
And and so he doesn't really believe that anybody can accomplish anything in politics.
Well, don't forget, I used to work for the House of Representatives.
Right. So exactly.
And you're right. I am one jaded son of a bitch.
That's right. So what do you think? You think this has any chance of succeeding?
Well,
or should Peter just go home and forget about it?
No. He shouldn't. Right. Because, like I said, it's a noble cause.
It is a noble cause.
And it'd be great. But here's my concern. Because, these people come in the Congress,
right,
and for all the right reasons initially,
right?
Okay, And they want to sit down with the app as a priority. We all heard what Peter said. However, you got the leadership to contend with.
Right.
You got fractured parties on both sides to contend with.
Right.
You got the ultras and the neos and all that kind of stuff going on in Congress.
Right.
So a junior member of the House or Senate, if you don't toe the line, you don't get those important committee assignments. Any legislation you have will never see the light of day. So, how do you overcome that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a broken system.
It is.
There's no question. And Peter, is that something that, what do you think about that?
Well, I think we need to have a short game and have a long game. You know, the short game is just to get more young, principled, values-driven members of Congress, or values-driven veterans into Congress to begin with. And then we can begin to build a deeper bench. We can begin to build a cohort across the aisle to sort of outweigh some of those more entrenched dysfunctional aspects of the current congressional system. I mean, you gentlemen definitely touched upon a lot of the current things that are wrong. And we want to be the first step in helping fix that. I mean, if you look at the numbers, Congress used to be, you know, up to 75% military veterans, and now we're down around 20%. You know, so just having folks in there
right.
who have experience working together, experience achieving a common objective, and know what it's like to put the nation's interests above their own self-interest, that's how we start a sea of change.
Sounds to me like an insurgency.
Well, as someone who's fought in Iraq and also spent time in Afghanistan, you know, I'd much rather be on that side of the insurgency.
yeah,
exactly. But that's what it is. I mean,
yeah. Well, but you got to start somewhere.
Well, I agree with that.
And the other, you know, the other part of that is when it comes down to military issues. Who do you want in there? Right.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because you know, I've listened to this for years. Not this specific.
Right.
Usually, it's we got to get a veteran in Congress because they're going to do the right thing for veterans.
Right.
That's not necessarily true in history. You know, you can go back and look at.
But who would you rather have?
Look how long it took us to get the new GI Bill.
Sure. No, absolutely.
And there was veterans blocking that.
Right.
Quite frankly. So. Anyone who thinks just because someone's a veteran, they're going to do the right thing by veterans.
Right.
But that's part of the broken system.
Right.
Because they're more worried about, you know, their position
but
in Congress.
At least they would understand the issue. You know, that's the thing.
Well, you can understand it, but still not be having any empathy.
Peter, what do you think about that? We're talking to Peter Meyer. He's from the group With Honor. Trying to get some things done with the veterans and politics. What do you think about that statement? And is there any way around that? Or what can you guys do to kind of force the issue on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think especially when it comes to the military and congressional oversight, one of the challenges is that you don't necessarily have forces that are pulling both parties to the middle, that are trying to find a common ground and something that's going to be best for the whole rather than for narrow interests on the extreme. And so one of our goals as an organization is to provide a force that, you know, isn't going to reward someone when they flee to the far right or the far left to take a radical stance, but instead is going to try to counterbalance some of those more narrow interests for those who are willing to put service above self and to put the interest of the whole above their individual self-interest as a politician.
So you're going to spend money to support and endorse candidates.
Oh, they're going to spend $30 million this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do have a question about that because, you know, you're talking about narrow focus of interest that can happen with congressional members. But the same thing happens with PACs. So are you going to be looking at candidates? I'm going back to your opening statement.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I take it from what you've said, but I don't want to assume anything, that you're going to look at a candidate broadly. you're just not going to focus in on a very narrow spectrum of issues. Say, for example, if a candidate votes for a flag amendment, you're going to automatically endorse that candidate. You're going to take a look at other things, how they vote for national defense, veterans issues, education, whatever it might be. Is that correct?
Well, so we don't have a policy focus at all. Our goal is to have the principles drive those elections. We have a lot of, as it is right now, we just announced our first slate of 9 candidates last week. And of those candidates, they widely vary across the ideological spectrum. And our goal is not to necessarily put forth or support any specific policies, but rather to encourage next-generation veterans who are running find some common ground on the other side once they get in office. So our criteria for selecting candidates, because we have over 150 next-generation veterans who are running for Congress this election cycle, and we're, as an organization, only focusing on the House, as this is our first year, and it's kind of the more, the turnover is the more approachable thing. Go ahead.
I'm laughing because that's, the House definitely needs someone, needs some help.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back here with Peter Meyer with Honor.
We're standing guard with the truth, the national defense.
The national defense is made possible by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry, and the group is called With Honor, and Peter Meyer is our guest. Here are the 9 candidates that With Honor is endorsing. How do those shake out in terms of, are they Democrats, Republicans? How does that work?
I believe right now we have 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats.
Well, that's pretty pretty balanced.
Yeah, and we've really tried to prioritize where the first primaries are for our initial slate of endorsements. Hmm. So we have several down in Texas because their primary is within the next month. We have Dan Crenshaw, and who's a Republican, MJ Hager, she's a Democrat, Johnny Havens, also a Republican, Jake Elzey, a Republican, so several, and then Kenneth Sheets and Van Taylor, all Texas military veterans who are running for Congress. And so our prioritization initially is on, we're focusing on primaries and selecting candidates who will need that extra boost but could be very viable not only within the primary but also within that general election. Hmm. So you got back to the question of how we select candidates, and it's, one, the individual, are they values-driven and principled next-generation veteran who's willing to sign on to our pledge to bring more bipartisanship and decrease polarization in Congress. 2, what does their potential opponent look like if they're challenging an incumbent? Are they going to be bringing a decrease in partisanship if they're running against a highly partisan incumbent, or are they potentially, unseating someone who's been a moderating force and otherwise supporting the broader goals? And then 3, what does it look like in terms of, that the district itself, is this a district that could swing? If it's a safe seat, are they running in an open primary? We want to spend the resources that we have in the most efficient way possible to achieve our goals. So we're approaching it from a very pragmatic stance while at the same time keeping those principles forefront.
That sounds like you're on the right track. So can you give us a genesis of this very briefly?
I know you get some pretty notable people on your board.
Yeah, so it started just about a year ago. Ry Barcott was a Marine veteran of Iraq, and then David Gergen, who's has been a presidential advisor going back several decades now, and a Navy veteran himself. And they basically started to come up with this general concept of, kind of how can we reduce the extreme partisanship that we've seen so far. And then as those conversations began to take root, and others like myself and many of the folks on our advisory board came into the picture, we started to figure out how to take that broad concept and how to operationalize it. We have several advisory boards and around 60 members in total of folks who are basically coming in and saying, listen, this is something that we support. This is something that we believe in. And whether it's, you know, someone like myself who's an Iraq veteran, but, you know, 30 years old and has experience in veterans advocacy more broadly, or, you know, Admiral Mike Mullen, you know, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We have a broad array of folks on both sides of the aisle, and even in our advisor group, it's a bipartisan representation who are committed to achieving the goals of the organization.
Well, you know, you mentioned David Gergen. His name is golden as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, he's well-respected all around.
Well, they guys, well, you know, Mike Mullen is not a...
Yeah, and Mike Mullen, you know, of course.
Well, it's good work, Peter. Thank you for,
man,
for being
good luck.
If you go to withhonor.org, you can find out more information. And, we got to get you back on. Let us know how some of these races go.
Yeah.
Anytime, I'd be glad. Thank you, gentlemen, for the time today.
Thanks,
for your interest.
withhonor.org. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. No matter where you're headed, Farmers Insurance can help you plan for the insurance you want. With practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience, at Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. I saw this story on Inside Edition, Jerry. I love it. I love this story. And it's one of these, you know, feel-good stories about a veteran that...
I was going to say, you don't love it as much
as Smiley does.
Larry Smiley does.
Yeah, Larry...
Larry Smiley Kleinman.
Larry Kleinman. He had just about zero teeth, right?
Well, this is such a story about generosity
and
compassion, I think.
Yeah. He came in for a consultation, and, I mean... Really, it's one of these things that's life-changing, and we're going to let Dr. Michael Tischler tell his story. Dr. Tischler is the implant editor for Dentistry Today magazine, which I know you get, Jerry. Dr. Tischler, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hey, so how did you first hear about this guy, Larry?
We had a dental practice in upstate New York in Woodstock.
Okay.
This is Teeth Tomorrow Hudson Valley, where we replace people's smiles with dental implants.
Okay, so Teeth Tomorrow is your practice?
Yeah, Teeth Tomorrow is my brand, national brand.
Okay.
We have over 40 locations right now, and the Hudson Valley is our location.
Wow. And so he comes in for a consultation?
Yeah, he came in as a new patient. Wasn't looking for any kind of pro bono or anything. Came in with his Vietnam hat. He won the hearts of everybody here, and I went home that night and said to my wife, you know what, I'm just going to help this guy out.
Well,
and it's been a great story and a great feeling.
Well, you did more than help him out.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a photo here that's not real clear, but it doesn't look like he had any very many teeth.
Yeah, we put it on the
I think
website,
he had four.
Too. He had how many?
Four.
He had four teeth?
He had like four teeth.
Oh.
And you know what happened? He came in, and he started just talking to us, and he said his name is Smiley. That he can't smile. He did two tours in Vietnam. He's a volunteer fireman. You know, if you can't help that guy.
Right.
So Dr. Patch and I just said, we're going to do it. I mean, this is a big value item. This is almost $60,000.
$60,000 worth of dental work.
Wow.
It
Man.
Is, it is. And that's what it costs to do an entire mouth with dental implants and bridges. And we have this Teeth Tomorrow brand, which is so successful. We have a 99% success rate over 5 years published. And it's a growing brand, and we thought it'd be a good thing to do for everybody.
So with all of his missing teeth, how was his bone structure? I mean, was there – obviously there was enough there to work on.
Yeah, what happens is when people are missing teeth, or they, if they wear a denture, in general, people lose bone over time.
Mm.
It's like when astronauts go into space without gravity, they lose bone mass. So without teeth there to stimulate the bone, a lot of times there's not enough bone, or sometimes there's not enough bone. Dental implants stop that bone loss process. So he'll be in good shape for the rest of his life, hopefully.
Well, how long has he lived with just four teeth?
Eating soup and oatmeal?
Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of people do that. About 30 years.
Man.
Wow.
So in 6 months from now, or a little bit less, he'll have smile made out of zirconia, which is our brand with Tea Tomorrow. We use Pertal from Zirconzana. It's a very strong product. Right now, we have temporaries in made out of acrylic that are just there for the next 3 or 4 months.
I mean, that's just life-changing. You know, I can't even imagine how the rest of his life is going to be impacted.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to be a downer on this, but there's so many people in this country who don't have dental insurance. I dare say the majority of people don't.
Yeah,
and in many cases, if they do have dental insurance, you still got a lot of out-of-pocket expense.
Big chunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's unfortunate. And I'm in the process of, we'll be publishing a book in the spring called The Dental Turning Point for Baby Boomers. So these baby boomers, there's 75 million baby boomers between, 52 and 75 out there. And these people have dentistry that's failing. Hmm. And dentistry has an end life. So through this process, you Teeth Tomorrow, as a national brand, we offer a solution. But yes, that is a high cost item, relatively. It's an investment in the patient's, self. But insurance does not cover that. The Affordable Care Act doesn't cover that. Medicare doesn't cover that. So these are things that baby boomers need to start thinking about as a retirement plan of what their dental health is going to be in the future. Because as you just mentioned, this affects a person's self-esteem, nutrition, everything.
Their health.
Their health, yeah.
Their overall health.
Absolutely.
Gum disease and so forth has been tied to
heart disease,
cardiac problems, and all sorts of things.
100%. One of the sad things, he feels that his teeth were lost from being in the war with Agent Orange and all that. Here's a gentleman serving our country that could be a possibility, and it's hard to hear that.
Well, I buy into that because before I went to Vietnam, I never had a cavity in my mouth. And when I came home, I did a couple tours myself, and when I came home,
thank you.
It was years and years and years of going to the dentist, getting root canals and crowns and abscesses, and finally, when I moved to Kansas City, I met a dentist, and he gave me a root canal, and I had another abscess. I went in, and he said, "You know what? You've spent thousands of dollars, and it's going to, you can spend thousands of dollars more, and you're just not going to be able to save your teeth."
Hmm. Well, that's why what we do is so rewarding. Dental implants. A lot of these baby boomers also have a dry mouth because they're on medications as they get older.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to save teeth and you're going to have a dry mouth, they're going to decay. Implants, dental implants don't decay. This is a really amazing solution for a lot of people.
Jerry, doesn't VA cover that?
In very few cases,
really?
VA cover any dental care.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, boy, there's a gap.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a major gap. And you know what's funny? Not funny at all, because dental health affects overall health. So if people's dental health isn't good, now the government's going to be paying for other problems of health that they could easily stop at the pass.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Man, Dr. Tischler, the work that you do is so important. But what a great, incredible gesture.
Yeah, and thank you.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're making a huge difference in this guy's life. And like you said, he served our country and served our country well. And
We love our veterans. And
Okay, so is there an 800 number where other veterans just like Smiley can call and get free dental care from you?
That would be a no.
I was going to say,
I
know where Woodstock at is. I'm heading that way.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that, believe me. And you know what? We're actually going to be involved at some point with a clinic out west where we can help homeless vets that way and train doctors.
Oh, that's cool.
I think we can do to help vets.
Well, boy, you sure have brought a lot of attention to doing something great for a veteran and also to the whole kind of spectrum of where things are with dentistry.
God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely,
thank
man.
Thank you, guys. Hey, I really appreciate it. And God bless you guys. That's helpful.
Thank you so much. And
thanks for the time.
It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And have you ever tried the katsu? Have you ever tried the katsu?
I was in Japan.
No, well, that's not, no, not what you think. Okay. No, no. John Doolittle is with us. He'll tell you all about the katsu. John, how are you?
I'm outstanding. Thanks, Randy. How are you guys doing?
Great. Former Navy SEAL, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And was working, the last job was U.S. Special Operations Command. That's a large job there.
Yeah, it's the headquarters of all special operations. You know, you got 69,000 people in that organization, and the headquarters right here in Tampa, Florida.
And you led the team there.
No, I did not lead the team.
You led a team.
It was like a four-star general leading that, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, it's just guys like Admiral McRaven, General Votel.
Oh,
General Thomas,
yeah.
You know, those kind of guys.
You led a team.
I did lead a team. That's correct.
Okay. So we're talking to John W. Badass Doolittle.
Yeah.
Keep going with that. I like
well,
that.
So what about that connection?
Actually, General Jimmy Doolittle, it's distant. It's a distant connection, but I did meet him.
Oh, you
one
did?
Time. I did. I was a freshman at the Air Force Academy in 1988, and General Doolittle was out there to dedicate Doolittle Hall, and I got to meet him.
Wow.
Kind of a funny story. We probably don't have time for it, but awesome guy. Awesome.
Wow. Man, that is so cool.
So you yourself has had quite a military career. As you just mentioned, you attended the Air Force Academy. And then you switched branches.
I did. I was actually commissioned as a Navy. I did as an ensign. I did something called an inter-service transfer. Bush 41 was the president at the time, and the word had come down to the academy that the top third of the class would be flying. And I knew right away that that did not include me.
I understand that.
So I started looking at other options, and my swim coach growing up was an old team guy from Vietnam, double gold medalist in the 1960 Olympics.
Wow.
And kind of one of my mentors growing up, Mike Troy, and he said, hey, you should look at joining the SEAL team.
So did you thank him very much during BUDS?
No, I did not. And I was one of the taller guys in my class. I think I was the tallest guy in my class.
No.
And,
oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, so I was the guy with his head sideways under the
boat. Yeah.
And then you did a solo swim across the English Channel?
That's true. I did that in memory of a friend of mine from SEAL Team 2, Neil Roberts.
Wow.
And back when I did that, there wasn't a whole lot of money kind of in the at the ready with the various foundations to help take care of surviving spouses and surviving kids and families and whatnot. And I mean, when one of our guys falls, the spouse is left kind of with everything. And a lot of them have to go back to school. They need to learn a career. The kids need help getting through school. They need equipment. They need scholarships and all this stuff. So in the years since, the Navy SEAL Foundation's turned into an incredible organization.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they do so much. But back then, there wasn't a whole lot of money. So did that to raise awareness and raise money for, at the time, the UDT SEAL Association and the Navy SEAL Foundation.
So, John, you got to tell us what KATSU is, because like you probably heard, I confused it with something that happened to me in Japan some years ago.
Well, and before you do that, John, the Navy SEAL Foundation, one of our partners, we have them on a lot, and they do. They do some incredible work. But so, you know, here's a guy that's, you know, obviously physically fit. He wants to stay in shape.
Not quite right.
Well,
I think, maybe.
Right. True. But has discovered these bands. And I've seen a little bit about, you know, some of the videos of KATSU. What is your explanation of KATSU?
Well, I got introduced to it during shoulder rehab about 3 years ago, and the PT, the physical therapist, that the command there that we had, he said, "Hey, man, you've had this shoulder surgery done before. Took you 10 to 12 months to recover. I guarantee you'll recover faster using this." And that's all he needed to say. Essentially, what it is, there, you might have heard of blood flow restriction training. We actually call it blood flow modification. It just slows down the venous return in the limbs. And when you do that, everything feels much harder. And then there's this kind of hormonal cascade that takes place. So your endocrine system starts making more testosterone, more human growth hormone, nitric oxide, and all this other stuff that in the science world. But the bottom line is it helps you heal much faster. And that's why the PTs like it, the rapid rehabilitation. Yeah.
What was your recovery time then?
Within 6 months, I was back doing master's swimming and butterfly backstroke, you know, rotation, probably 95% strength back. It was pretty incredible.
Jerry, check your katsu. We'll be back here to find out more from John Doolittle on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry, and Jerry is trying to find his katsu. John Doolittle is our guest right here, and this is some pretty cool stuff. You know, the list of not only professional sports teams that are using this,
yeah, it's pretty
impressive. Is huge, but also a bunch of military bases, right?
Yep. The military bases, some of them are using it for the human performance aspect. And it does help with the bigger, faster, stronger strength and agility type stuff. But to me, the real game-changing aspect of it is the rapid rehabilitation. I mean, if you think of what, I'll use special operations as an example. Before 9/11, we had this 18-month workup cycle, 6-month deployment. That's kind of how it looked. Then after 9/11, my God, everything changed, right? And you had so many guys on this sort of port and starboard rotation where they would take 18 months of training, squeeze it into 6, and then have that 6-month deployment. And they were doing that over and over and over. And all kinds of overuse injuries, trauma injuries, and all, I mean, I'm sure you talked to plenty of guys that, you know, when you start taking away a lot of that recovery time, and I'm not just talking physically, but psychologically, behavioral health stuff, family things, all that comes into play. The wheels kind of start coming off the bus a little bit, especially when you got guys that are doing 14 combat deployments. I mean, it can get crazy pretty quick.
So, say, you know, you were an operator and you used to shooting and scooting and all that kind of thing, and all of a sudden your rear end's planted at a desk. Can katsu come into play to help you there?
Yeah, absolutely. The beauty of it is you need very little weight or no weight in most cases. So while guys are rehabbing from an injury or after a surgery or whatnot, they can literally be sitting at their desk doing emails with the bands on, and they go into this automated cycle where there's a little bit of pressure, all the capillaries become engorged with blood, and then it automatically releases after a while, and then it makes a little more pressure and releases. So you have the endocrine system working in an automated mode where as you're sitting there, seemingly not doing much at all, you're actually, your physiological response is that you're working out to a degree. So you can be sitting there with these things on doing nothing, yet and the science shows with the biomarkers and whatnot, your HGH levels go up, your testosterone levels go up, nitric oxide, which is that is responsible for vascular elasticity, I think is the magic word, but essentially vascular health, which is a systemic response everywhere, all that stuff being affected while you're just sitting there doing maybe toe raises or emails where your hands are moving just a little bit. So, yeah, you can use it at your desk. You can use it in the gym. You can use it in the pool. We've got aqua bands, and we'll put a lot of guys in aqua therapy using this stuff in the pool with no impact on your musculoskeletal system. I could talk about this stuff all day, but I don't want to go too long.
To ask you about it. I've seen the some YouTube videos and different things, and it seems like there are so many different levels of katsu where you've got from the most professional equipment and the katsu endorsed equipment to just somebody tying a sock around their arm. I mean, how do you know? And you know, what's different about that?
So the guy that, the founder of this over in Japan, a guy named Dr. Yoshiaki Sato, I got to meet him with my family this summer.
Well, John, I mean, we could talk. It's so fascinating to me about this whole method of katsu. What's the best place for people to go to find out more?
KatsuGlobal.com. Pretty easy. KatsuGlobal.com. KAATSU Global.
KAATSU, Katsu Global.
And I don't think I was too far off on this when I talked about Japan. That young lady, she was going to get my endocrine system going.
Well, no, it's a different deal. Oh. John, listen, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. John Doolittle and the katsu, it's just...
Pretty cool. Yeah.
It is. It's like a... it's an old principle that's been developed anew.
Exactly.
Very deep, Randy.
Thank you.
Very deep.
Thank you,
Randy. Jerry, thanks for your time. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Thanks, brother.
Great stuff, man. Thanks for your service.
All right. Take care, guys.
We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of The National Defense.